So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. I wanted to first just reiterate for people the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling, what you guys are all about.
So essentially, we're not for or against gambling, but what we like to do is do education, prevention, and teach people that, you know, there's gambling related harm and that the state of Connecticut has some great resources. If individuals or families are experiencing gambling related problems, including our 24/7 problem gambling helpline. We also teach people about responsible gambling, where we have a great website, responsibleplayct.org, where there's tips and strategies if you're going to choose to gamble, where maybe you could be a little safer.
Tell us what you guys at CCPG have seen, especially in recent years since we passed online gambling and sports betting in Connecticut and made it legal. I know in past conversations with the council, we've definitely learned that the college age, the 20s, we've seen a real uptick in calls from people in that age group. Is that correct still?
It's definitely correct. But you know, one of the things we're noticing is before there was much wider of a demographic, you know, where there was older women that had issues with casinos, slots, and things, but now it's much more frequently to be adult age males between college age up to 30. So it's definitely trending that way with sports betting and online casinos.
It seems like ever since we made both legal in Connecticut, every session there's some kind of effort to either tweak it, either improve it, expand it, depending on which side of the aisle you're on. I wanted to talk about the governor's most recent push, I should say, Governor Bill 5038. He would like to ban prediction markets from allowing users under 21 years old to purchase contracts or be targeted by advertising in the state. Just to break this down really quickly, what are prediction markets so people understand what we're talking about?
So prediction markets essentially are, to dial it down to the lowest level, futures contracts, essentially the same thing like when you'd see people buying like frozen orange futures. You're saying that you're betting on an outcome of an event. And, you know, there's two people on each side of it, whether the event will happen or not.
Okay. So just so I understand it correctly, is that kind of like when you do, what is it called? Like squares, like for the Super Bowl, is that a type of prediction market or no?
No, that would be the traditional sports betting.
Okay.
But it gets a little, once you're involved with sports in prediction markets, it definitely has some mirrors to sports betting.
Okay. So what do you think about the idea of banning anyone under the age of 21 from being able to participate, but also advertisers not being able to even target them?
Well, I mean, I think that idea is a good idea. And it's consistent with you know, current practices in Connecticut for the other regulated gambling offerings, like online casino, iLottery, you know, sports betting.
But do you think 21, and granted, I know it gets a little dicey, but especially what we're seeing with one of the highest demographics being impacted, you know, men in that 20 to 30 year range, do you feel like this is you know, enough, I guess, of like, are we attacking it as appropriately as we could be?
Well, it's kind of hard to talk about the specific provisions to the bill without talking about kind of like the kind of general, more overlying problem. When you're talking about the federal government and gambling, there's no overarching federal policy. So it's up to the individual states and their regulators to determine the gambling regulations. In the case of prediction markets, they're not considered gambling in certain terms. So they're actually regulated by the Commission Futures Trading Council. Commission, sorry. And they're saying that they have purview over it. Now, that has led to various state attorneys.
Oh, Paul, I lost you there.
There you are.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. So you said that has led to what?
Various state attorney generals to say they believe it's gambling and to seek cease and desist letters and the various platforms for for prediction markets to counter that they don't have to respond to state regulators. They have federal regulatory to answer to. So it's currently in the federal judiciary to determine what the regulatory authority really is for these things. So until that's kind of really settled, there's an issue if states could even regulate it if we want to.
Well, so okay, then I was going to say, am I understanding correctly that you could, it kind of reminds me of the efforts that we want to make with social media, not to kind of go down a rabbit hole, but this was sort of the argument I had back with lawmakers who wanted to put more controls in place and have kind of big tech have to report back to them about data on a consistent basis. And I said, at the federal level, they can't even do that to get social media to comply with those rules. How are we going to do it in Connecticut? And the answer kind of was, well, we'll just see what happens, which to me is sort of what you're saying, which is you could want to have regulations in place, but if it's not kind of done at the federal level or it's not something that's already set in stone federally, you're sort of in a losing battle at the state level.
Well, not necessarily in the fact that, I mean, we are successful at regulating gambling because we have state gambling regulators, but
Sure.
that's because there is no federal regulations. In this case, there's a federal regulatory authority, but there's no regulations they've issued concerning this. So it's
Interesting.
essentially kind of the Wild Wild West where they're saying they have the authority to regulate it. They hadn't as of yet. Now the states are stepping up to try to offer regulations or to try to compel them to do so. And that's where the litigation is currently undergoing. And we have to kind of see on how that pans out to see how the regulatory environment's going to really be in place afterwards.
So, Paul, if they decide, though, federally to do nothing, does that essentially mean that Connecticut still has an opportunity to regulate it, or it's just kind of an uphill battle? Or, I mean, what kind of happens? Only because we know at the federal level, things move very slowly. I mean, I can remember, again, jumping around to another example, when we were watching more and more states legalize marijuana. I remember living in Vermont when we li legalized marijuana there, and it was after Colorado and everything, it was before Connecticut. And I remember thinking, at some point, the federal government is going to do something because you can't just keep having state after state kind of come up with their own regulations and all that. But they still haven't. I mean, it's been well over a decade and they still haven't. So what if the federal government does nothing, essentially? What can Connecticut effectively do?
Well, it's probably important to also mention that I'm not an attorney, so I don't want
Fair.
to say specifically legal advice. But I mean, again, that would really determine the results of the litigation to see what the authority is of the states or whether they're not able to regulate at all.
Gotcha. And another thing, really quick, Paul, only while I have you here, and I so appreciate your time. Another thing that was has been discussed, I know last session it was discussed. I don't believe it went anywhere. I think it's coming up again this session. Don't quote me. Maybe you have a better understanding of this. But there's also been pushes on being able to bet on Connecticut-based sports teams like UConn. And I wasn't sure about your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, at the council, we're not in support of that, only for the fact that we thought that the original regulations prohibiting that was kind of well thought out. But we don't really think it's fair to student athletes to have to deal with the pressures of potential, boosters, neighbors, fellow students, kind of pressuring them based on, not only their play but also, potentially lost bets that they've gotten. It's just kind of a policy that we believe is not in the best interest of the state at the time. So, as far as I'm aware, I haven't heard of that policy being reoffered this year. But we wouldn't be in support of it if it was.
And then another quick thing, Paul. I believe on Wednesday, wasn't there a public hearing up in Hartford? And what was that about in regards to gaming?
So, actually, the public hearing in the General Law Committee today was on the governor's bill on prediction markets.
Okay, it was. How did that go? What was kind of the feedback from people?
I mean, it was a kind of a across the board. The various state agencies supported the governor's proposals, including the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and the Connecticut Lottery. Both the tribes had opposed it based on some of the concerns, some of which that I kind of outlined, where the language of the bill as drafted in the effort to essentially regulate them, saying that you have to be 21 years of age, also recognizes them as official. In the state of Connecticut, we have a compact on gambling where there's an exclusivity that's in effect between the tribes as well as the Connecticut Lottery, and any other outside purveyors can't actually engage in gambling activity. So it kind of creates a gray area that's of concern.
Okay. Is there anything people should be aware of at any public hearings coming up, or I guess where does that the governor's bill kind of lie at this point?
Well, at this point, the governor's bill has just to give a little quick synopsis of the legislative process, It was introduced in the General Law Committee. They've had a public hearing. At this point, the committee has a couple different options. They can choose to just let the bill die. They can choose to let it get out of committee and forward it to, it's a House bill, so it would then go to the floor of the House. Or they can choose to modify it through substitute language where they can make changes. So I'd imagine that it's going to get out of committee in some form, and it'll probably be a work in progress as people hear from the public hearing, as well as legislators' thoughts and negotiations with the legislative leaders in the governor's office.